Welcome to episode 239 of the Soul Savvy Podcast. For once, it's not sponsored by Advisory Board Crystals not shipping their Pumas. That debacle is behind us. I had to mention it one more time. Lawrence, how are you doing?
I'm good. Happy New Year. I don't think this is the first episode of the year, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're still saying that on February 6th. Everyone's turned off the episode already. They're done listening to us. Hopefully everyone enjoyed what ended up being a late episode recapping a little bit of what was going on at the end of 25 and starting up 26. But we are days away from NBA All-Star Weekend, so we will start there. Lawrence, you hit me with this is the best All-Star Weekend in a long time. And I said, excuse me, what about last year? Because I will argue with you that last year was the best we've had in a very long time, just because Galaxy Foams, Metallic Fives, Fluke. I walked out of that weekend buying a lot of shoes. So that's why I say that, but I'm curious why you're making this statement a week out.
I think it's clearly the best All-Star weekend in a long, long time, in my opinion. I don't even think it's close. I think the Nike basketball pack that they're doing, the warning label pack, is one of the best ones. Probably the best one they've done since like the early 2010s. I think it's like up there with, I think it's better than Area 72. I think it's up there with Galaxy. I think it's like they knocked it out of the park.
Wow.
With just like, it's so like unified. It's like you can tell they're all related, but they're all different. The details are great. The packaging is cool. Like last year, I think was like the start of it. We might have even touched on it last year with like the black label pack. Like it felt like, oh, this is cool. Like it felt like there was a push. And this year feels like a big, like, huge push. So there's that. I mean, you have, like, Union Fragment. You have Levi's Jordan. You have... And the thing is, with this year, different than a bunch of, like, other years, there's just stuff from so many different brands all coming out. I almost spoiled something that I saw that was under embargo until next week, but there's some cool Adidas stuff coming that hasn't been revealed as of talking. Yeah, I think it's really cool, and I just feel like the buzz is bigger than it has been in a long time as well, just in general. Like it feels very electric right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a fair statement. I could counter you one for one for Union, but again, a three pack is really interesting, releasing around the world. You know, your Levi's to the SBs from last All-Star weekend. It's very competitive. I still personally am going to give the edge to last year because that Galaxy coming back was a big moment I can't overlook. But you are right. It is a very strong lineup. This, you know, the Shea was released last year, or sorry, previewed. It came out 6 months later. But, this warning label pack is probably one of Nike's better packs. I like the box is really cool. The detailing. And is it like a lace lock or is it just a charm? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like a lace charm. It definitely comes off. But they're cool. Like each one having that is just cool in itself.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're also filming, obviously, prior to some things being announced. I guess we would expect Kith and Nike to have a KD collaboration from the friends and family preview we saw. I'm assuming there's also a general release of some kind happening, but it's really exciting. This is what I love All-Star Weekend for, regardless of which one you like more, last year, this year, or next year. It kind of kicks off the year in sneakers. Everyone's excited. Everyone's getting together. The creativity is there. Everyone's been building up towards that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm curious how many shoes I'll walk away with that weekend, but at the end of the day, it's always a great time in shoes, and that's why hopefully we're right. I want the same thing from Air Max Day, Air Max Month in March. We talked about it. We don't need to rehash it, but I'm hoping this strong February leads into an even stronger March.
I, without saying too much and getting in trouble, after our podcast released and after we posted on social, received a message saying that the Air Max prediction, according to this person, is going to be pretty accurate. So hopefully we're in store for a good Air Max month. But yeah, like this is what Air Max month used to feel like, honestly, if not more. Like it used to be the entire month of releases and we knew about things a month or two before and people were just hype for so long. Yeah. People were wearing Air Max for 30 days straight. Like people just don't care that much anymore. I think that this year, it's going to be a good year. I'm excited. This feels good. I feel at a lot of energy right now.
Yeah, we will see. Hopefully those announcements and leaks start kind of happening in the next couple weeks. But look, All-Star Weekend, February 14th, Union will drop their release that day. February 21st, you've got Levi's. February 28th, you've got Union again with everyone else. It's going to be a really fun, really fun month, just like it was last year. Last February was awesome. And it set the tone for the year. So I'm expecting the same. I'm expecting the same. One thing I did not mention to you, Lawrence, that I've now remembered is I have, I think, various times on this pod, whether it was to Marco or to you when we had chatted about it or even in private to people, I was always asking Nike and Jordan to create more collectability around the releases. And I got a nod to the fragment, like, three colorways, one spread across the world in five stores, the blue and white one. I don't think there's a lot of clarity yet as to what's happening, but it's not as limited. And then obviously, I guess what we could call the more general release version, the Varsity Red with the red top. I love that. I love that because there's layers to this, right? You want to be the hype beast? Go chase the white and black one. Go get it. Whatever it costs, you probably don't care. Money is probably not a thing that matters to you. For everyone else, you've got, again, the more general release available at Union, at boutiques, probably sneakers. It'll be more accessible. It's probably not going to be sell for a ton. And then probably that blue one somewhere in the middle. If you care about status and exclusivity, you'd have it. If you care about just having a really cool shoe from Union and Jordan, great. Without breaking the bank, awesome. I love that. I think it's a great way to build on top of making more of a collaboration or a shoe without, you know, the challenges of oversupply, right? And I guess they're also following this with Levi's too. You can say the same thing about Levi's. They did three last time, but we got LA, San Francisco, the black one, the blue one. Like there's more options, and I'm all for that. And that's, I think, as I've said before, a creative way to make more money and sell more shoes without overdoing it, because sneakerheads are very finicky.
Or just like you said, like not even sell more shoes necessarily, just instead of, like we kind of discussed with the Air Jordan 11 rollout late 2025, make the same amount total, but just like layer the release. So it just feels like there's more depth and there's more going on with it. There seems like there, again, it takes, 2024 was the bad year. Last year was the adjustment year. And this is the turnaround. Like there's obviously long production times to get this stuff in motion. But like I said, it feels like we're on a good, like, trajectory right now. This is actually, before we get into something that we both disagree on, it wasn't in our run of show, but I just remembered it, as you said, good release. I don't know if I'm going to get flack for this one, but I think we have to talk about it. I think that the Costco SB was such a good way to release that shoe. It was very Nike SB. It was, like, honestly, like, incredible just to see the energy that morning and that weekend, really, after they dropped. It was insane. Yeah. We haven't seen anything like that in a long time. Long time.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time you were truly shocked by a shock drop? For us, never really. Like pre-pandemic stuff.
It's a great, and the brilliance of it was, like, look, Costco runs a very good supply chain. They know what they're doing. You can even see it when they released Pokemon. East Coast, the entire East Coast is getting it today, and the entire West Coast is getting it next week, because that's how shipments work. For 7 or 9 or whatever the hell stores it was to get it on one day and not the entire coast or their entire country is very strategic and very purposeful, because people are paying $500 for them. I think that's stupid. There's obviously more pairs coming. How many more? I don't know. I would expect a lot more to different stores across the country, because I just don't see a world again where Nike came to Costco and said, "Hey, we're getting these really limited. We need you guys to play along. You're not going to make that much money from it." Costco doesn't deal with that.
They don't need it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They don't. They don't need it. So they're doing Nike a favor, and business isn't like that. So I suspect a lot more inventory is coming, and just giving people a small taste of it in a shock drop style and causing chaos on the internet, people flexing their business Costco cards on their Instagram reels. It was incredible. I loved it. I think it was a great, like you said, a great way to roll out a shoe and build some energy. And I'd probably predict the shoes going for retail by the end of this year, because they're just going to keep sending more shipments.
Yeah.
And that's great. win for everyone.
To be clear, I don't like them either. I don't like the shoe. I think the shoe is not good. But I think that
no, I don't care.
It was a fantastic. It was just so that whole morning I was glued to like Twitter, Instagram, everything, more so than a regular day, trying to like just see like more information. Like the first video popped up super early. It was clearly someone like an executive member who got it in like 8 a.m. There was one video circulating on the internet, and I was like, well, this is AI or something. And then it started to build and build and build throughout the day. And then, like, people were calling around and, like, oh, my store said they're not getting it, but this store is getting it. And, like, even the intentionality behind, like, the Kirkland store, which I didn't even know Kirkland was a real place, but, like, the Kirkland store.
Kirkland, no. Washington.
Yeah, Kirkland, yeah. Washington got it. Beaverton got it. Like, there's, like, intentionality behind that. Obviously, then LA and New York. Like, it was very thought out. And, yeah, like, it's crazy. I said this on the day of, but, like, we have multi-million dollar streetwear brands that just can't keep a secret under wraps for the life of them. Like, we knew about these union fragments, like, it feels like 7 years ago at this point.
After the Chicago Shadow one last March.
Yeah, like, we knew about them pretty much immediately. And these people were questioning if the cause, there was like a discourse on the internet whether the Kirkland dunks were even real.
I didn't think
because
they were
it
real.
Was just so they were so radio silent. We got these official images like late last year, and everyone was like, did someone just like pull the rug over our eyes with this? Like, did someone just trick us and bamboozle us? And then all of a sudden, on a random, like, whatever it was, Thursday, it was just like, bam, here they are. And I thought it was great. It was very Nike SB. It was very just all of it was like super dope. So it's flowers to them.
It's interesting you say that, because I was told from someone that, quote unquote, only two people knew about this internally. Like, it was that tight of a project. And I'm sure that doesn't include whoever the material designer was, product designer was. I would imagine that the team is like five or six, but it was very tight on Nike's side and Costco's side. Yeah, I think a W for everyone. And again, when you talk about how does Nike get their mojo back, this is one of those ways. Stacking creative fun wins like this is definitely a way to ensure Nike's cool, except for the guys who have the number one podcast in the world who say Nike's not cool. But anyone who self-identifies as having the number one podcast in the world definitely does not have the number one podcast in the world.
It's hilarious that happened, that Nike shock drop happened like 2 weeks after that podcast came out, and it literally had like the world going crazy, driving and calling around to Costco's. Like, no other brand is doing that.
And they tell people lines were.
No other brand is doing that.
No, it's look, the market is dominated by Nike. Keeping our conversation going, we both did not like what Mr. Ronnie Feig did at Kith. It's funny, I actually recognize that guy's profile. I have no comment on him personally, don't care. So, but context, there's some guy on X, Twitter, who is a big time Kith hater. And I guess Kith, through Ronnie, sent him a pair of friends and family Air Force Ones. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it, because the reaction that we saw in our Discord, the reaction I saw on Reddit in the comments was like, so my 60,000 reward points that I have in your system mean nothing, and I should just start hating on you to get a friends and family. I don't get it, Lawrence. I don't get the logic in this. Did he think it was funny? Did he have a little too much wine one day? Like, what's the rationale? Because it's dumb.
In a vacuum, it's very stupid, in my opinion. Yeah. I feel like, first of all, I feel like this is going to encourage people just to hate on him and hope that they're going to get something for free. But that's a side note. In a vacuum, it's very silly. Like you said, you literally have a loyalty program that people have like tens of thousands of points. They've spent like $500,000 at your store, and they've been shopping with you for 12 years, supporting you, and you're not rewarding them with anything from the loyalty program, to be frank. Like, you don't get anything for free. You have to buy stuff. And then this one guy who's just been really mad and like legitimately looks like he hates Ronnie gets a free pair of shoes that which also that release made people mad, because everyone was like, why didn't you make men's stuff? Like, it was just all of it is like jumbled and weird to me. The only way that I could, like I was saying this yesterday to the guys, like the only way, and maybe I was just trying to like rationalize it in my mind, I was like, maybe it's the start of a rollout for this. Like he's doing the whole like people hated that there was only kid sizes. Oh, I'm gonna send a shoe to a hater. He's doing like a whole like hater rollout or something, which could be really cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Wishful thinking again, because I really want the Footscape, so maybe it's just wishful thinking. But that's the only way I could rationalize it in my brain, other than, like you said, we just had a bunch of wine and he thought it was like a silly thing to do and did not think it through or like run it by his PR team or anything.
If this is, I mean, even if he ran it, I'm sure. Anyways, if this is a one-off thing that this guy just got, it's dumb. You could have rewarded like one of your best customers did a raffle, people who have more than X amount of reward points, and then done that with the small friends and families. If there's more coming, an actual rollout and more shoes, and this was just a marketing publicity stunt, all right, cool. It's better than what freaking Jeff Staple did, so I'll take it.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, that might be too optimistic, but we'll see. We'll see. Hey, look, I'm a big supporter of Kith, big fan of what Ronnie's done, what they built. I guess it just annoyed me because I have 87,000 points and I didn't get a pair.
So that, I mean, yeah, like there's people who have spent so much money. Like you probably could have just checked the sizes and sent it to one of those people randomly. And the goodwill gesture there would have been way cooler, I think. It would have just encouraged people to spend more at your store. And now this one is just encouraging people to talk shit to you. Like it does, that doesn't make sense in my mind. There has to be something more. Bronny is a really calculated guy. So there has to be more. In my opinion. I don't know.
You know what? It reminds me of that picture raffle 25 pairs and the winners not saying anything and then being like, what the fuck? What did you think was going to happen?
That was also...
Like, what did you think? You know? Like, obviously, this person was going to get this shoe, turn around somewhere on the internet. You just gifted them thousands of dollars. What did you think was going to happen, man?
It was a choice for sure. Again, like if you wanted like a genuine sneakerhead reaction, doing a blind equal raffle for a $30,000 sneaker was not the way to go about it.
No. Anyways, we will see. Hopefully there's more to this Kith gifting a hater story because it definitely got the internet up in arms and talking about it, which again, if your thesis is accurate, was a great move and a great play. And hopefully I don't have to say Lawrence was right. But we will see. Last piece of news, Puma was purchased, a majority stake was purchased by Anta. I was really surprised. But I think from their perspective, and they said it point blank, we think the brand is underutilized, undervalued, and there's tons of room for potential. And they obviously have a huge market cap and distribution within China and Asia. And I was actually surprised. They own a brand that really caught me off guard. I'm trying to pull it up real quick. It was. They own Arc'teryx and Salomon.
Oh.
And Wilson.
Hmm.
So they have a really good portfolio. They obviously have not turned Salomon around, but made it more relevant. We just saw Kith collaboration. And obviously Arc'teryx is a very well-respected brand across the world for its quality and craftsmanship, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and Wilson is coming back a little bit too. They also had a Kith collab, ironically. So
yeah, the Anta portfolio is good. It's Peak Performance, Atomic is ski equipment, Wilson, Salomon, Arc'teryx, and then the list goes on with some other brands that I actually don't recognize.
Great lineup, actually.
Yeah. So as a business, as a company, probably good for Puma and their shareholders, and probably even us from a perspective of product and the product coming down the pipeline potentially. So I think good news.
Yeah, I think people don't realize how much cash these Asian sportswear companies really have. It's insane. Like when we were talking about like people who are brands that Steph Curry might sign with, and everyone was like, oh, he's gonna go to Nike. Like anything that Nike offers, I guarantee someone like Anta could offer him triple that and not even blink. Like they just have so much cash. Like Way of Wade, all of these, like Li Ning, like
it was a $1.8 billion deal for 30% of Puma, like, you know, casual.
Yeah.
What day of the week was it? Friday for them?
Yeah, they literally just dropped it, like came out of nowhere. It wasn't even like there was discussions that we knew about or anything. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be good for Puma overall. It's strange to hear that the German sportswear company was purchased, majority stake was purchased out of Asia. It's just like, it feels weird, but I think that they're smart enough to know to keep the brand identity true to what it was and just expand their product offering and give them some more capital to maybe go out and sign some people, maybe sign some Asian players. Like it'll be something like that, I would assume. But yeah, I think it can only mean good things for Puma. This is probably a buy if you're in the stock market. This is probably a buy situation for Puma.
We know nothing but buy, everyone.
Yeah, this is not legal advice, but buy all the Puma stock that you can afford.
Well, it's really this simple. Puma generates only 7% of its total revenue from China. And as of 2025, Arc'teryx has 75 stores in Greater China of their 176 worldwide. That's the strategy for Anta, and what they're probably going to do with Puma is if you can double revenue in a country, triple revenue in a country pretty easily with an increased footprint, I think it will help. And honestly, definitely not great news for Nike, because I know China's been a region they've lost market share from, so this is definitely not going to help. But hey, as they always say, good competition helps the consumer, so I will take it. Competition is heating up everywhere. I think Adidas is heating up as well. So it's going to be, I think we're going to have another good year. We're going to have another good year. Hopefully not a lull in June and July or May, but we should have a good year.
Well, the thing is with this summer, we're having the World Cup, which like, I think it's going to be exciting, like super exciting, especially from like the Adidas and like the big sponsor. I mean, Nike obviously is involved, but Adidas, that's their bread and butter. So I think that it's going to be fun. I mean, Adidas is already dropping their Bape World Cup pack and it's February. Like, I think it's going to be a busy year.
Yep. I think it will be a good year. Lawrence, that is a wrap. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to head to LA for All-Star Weekend coming up here. And then we'll report back a recap of what happened that weekend and what went down. And hopefully the actual All-Star game will be watchable, because it was barely watchable last year. But
I have high hopes for this year, just because there's a Team World. I know we're both on Team World, so let's go.
Yeah. Team World always. Yeah. Don't get me started on the former Yugoslavian national team. If it was Jokic and Doncic, we'd score 300 points and play no defense, but we'd still win. All right. That is a wrap. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you on the next episode.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Soul Savvy Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on social media at Soul Savvy with 1V on all platforms. To learn more about Soul Savvy and join our community, please visit www.soulsavvy.com/join.